At Farm to Table, we know how confusing healthcare is. We're here to simplify the healing process. We believe that healthcare should be simple. It should help people feel better. That's why we started the Table Talk podcast, to gather around the table with you, no matter where you are. We want to come and learn together and discuss a new healthcare approach that addresses the root cause of your symptoms. The journey for each person is unique, but together we can thrive. Hi, welcome to today's episode of our Table Talk podcast. I'm so excited to sit down with two of our pharmacists and talk about movement and how this is a foundation of health. So we've already talked about nutrition, we've talked about stress, we've talked about sleep and how important that is. And now we're going to talk about another foundation of health today, which is movement. So we all know that we need to move and we all know that exercise is important, but we're just going to talk about ways that movement can be, you know, part of your life, but be not as regimented as, you know, maybe you think it has to be to really make it have an impact on your life. So I'm first going to start with introduction. So again, if you've been listening, my name is Melody Hertzler. I am the owner of Farm to Table and the leader of the Farm to Table team. I'm a clinical pharmacist in Dayton, Ohio that focuses on metabolic syndrome and gut health and functional medicine. And so I have with me two of my pharmacists today, Lindsay and Veronica. So I'll let them introduce themselves. So we'll start with Lindsay.
Hi, everyone. My name is Lindsay Dalton. I am a pharmacist in Columbus, Ohio, and I love helping especially women get to the root cause of their diseases, their conditions, their symptoms, and especially helping women increase their energy.
Awesome. Awesome. And Veronica?
Hello, everyone. I'm Veronica Riera-Gilley. I'm a holistic pharmacist from Sherman, Texas, and I'm a board-certified geriatric pharmacist, and I specialize in holistic geriatric care as well as adaptive yoga. And I really like helping patients embrace healthy living, aging, and dying.
Awesome. Thank you. And I don't know if Lindsay mentioned she's also an Ohioan as well. I don't know if we said that, but so go Bucks. And all right. So why don't we kick it off? Veronica's going to start with us just giving us a sort of framework for why movement is important and sort of how this has evolved, you know, as we've become a more modern society.
We are born to move and we have all the flexibility that we need to move throughout life. And if we look at our kids, like small toddlers, they just drop into a squat effortlessly. And this is a fabulous pose to open up our bodies, open up our pelvic floors. And we lose that through training in our modern society. We don't move our bodies in all kinds of different ways to maintain all of our flexibility. We start sticking kids in chairs really young and they sit there for hours a day going to school. And then we lose our muscle memory of that squat. So not being able to squat as we get older is not because we're getting older and losing flexibility, but it's because we're not maintaining that muscle memory in our body that we have that availability.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I feel like I need to drop into a squat right now, right?
Yes, you should squat.
I am standing at my husband's standing desk, but
that's great. That's great. Any opportunity that you have not to sit is really, really good. And I've been working with a movement coach. Her name is Monique Claudio, and she had a great suggestion of trying to incorporate these movements naturally into your day, rather than thinking about, oh my goodness, I have to do a squat or I have to do 10 squats. She recommends put things that you use daily and frequently, rather than up high where they're easy to reach, put them down low where you naturally have to find a squat to go get that. So storing your dishes in the bottom cabinet instead of in the top so that you naturally have to squat down. Don't bend at the waist, but squat down and get your dishes. And then it just becomes part of your routine. It's not something that you have to think about or label as exercise to get. It's just part of your day.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I try to do, you know, if I'm on, like we all since the pandemic have been on lots of Zoom calls and lots of meetings that might happen remotely. And I think, you know, even getting up during those instead of sitting, if you're just listening and participating in the conversation and stretching or squatting, you know, during those moments where you're, you know, not necessarily calling that exercise to get up your heart rate, but it's enough to, you know, give your body like a break from sitting in that position. So why is movement so important to the body? Can we back up a little bit to talk about like what the reason that our body needs to move? I heard you mention a little bit about the pelvic floor and how that opening that up is helpful. But as a yoga instructor and student of yoga, what do you think is our big take-home point about why the body needs to be flexible?
Movement nourishes our body and it helps to encourage circulation. You know, we have our heart that pumps our blood through our body, but we also have the lymphatic system, which is another way that we're transporting waste products and nutrition and exchanges that need to happen through that lymphatic system. But the lymph doesn't have a pump. So our blood has the heart to pump it. So how do we move lymph through our system? We need to move. We need to exercise. And the muscular contraction actually massages our lymphatic system to help move that fluid through to help boost our immune systems. So it's really important to maintain our structures through movement.
Right. Awesome. Yeah. And even things like think about chiropractic care and, you know, osteopathic manipulation, like getting your body aligned can be so important to that, because when there's restrictions in, you know, certain joints or the spine, like sometimes that contributes to things not moving, you know, the way that they should be, or if there's, you know, muscles that are too tight that are preventing that. So there's lots of ways to improve the quality of your movement as well. So anything you want to add to that, Lindsay?
Oh, no, I think that's great. I think we were born to move, we're made to move, and we need to move. I mean, when I'm sitting at my desk all day, especially since the weather is getting cooler, like I will just take a break if I have a chance between meetings and take my dog for a walk. Like just getting outside and going for a walk is such an easy way to incorporate movement in your day.
Sure, sure. Awesome. So a lot of people think that we have to have this regimented exercise routine to get movement. So we've sort of talked about, I mean, I think there's a difference between like needing to exercise to lose weight or to tone specific areas of body and the need to have movement in our life. So I don't know if we want to, you know, spend a moment on that. Like we have a lot of different exercise modalities, right? There's like CrossFit and there's cardio. Like a lot of people are doing spin biking and crunches and all of these things. And so while many of that is great, you know, the restorative movement, I think, is what we're having a conversation about right now. So Lindsay, do you want to talk to us a little bit about like the balance of, you know, maybe those more intense workouts and the restorative ones?
Yeah, definitely. So I think when it comes to movement, you really just have to find what you enjoy and what feels good to you and stick with that when you're kind of in maintenance mode, when you're not going for one of those goals like losing weight. I think that a lot of times we can take it too far and we can think, okay, I have to work out 6 days a week, everyone's doing CrossFit. I have to do these super intense workouts every day because that's what is so healthy for me. But you can get to a point where you're gonna burn out. And I experienced this myself. Like I wasn't taking the time to rest. I was going too hard until my body was just like, nope, we're not gonna do this anymore. And I just crashed. So I think there is kind of this balance between working out hard and doing those hard workouts, but then also just having those rest days or just having those days where you do yoga and you just walk and you just play with your kids and you go for a hike and you just allow movement to be something that just naturally occurs during your day.
Well, I'd like to chime in on the yoga. You're saying that yoga is very restful and restorative for you, Lindsay. And there are many people who practice yoga in extremely hot conditions, and they do very full expressions of very challenging postures that require a lot of flexibility, sometimes beyond the range of the normal range of motion. And there needs to be a balance, even within yoga, because you can practice that to an extreme where your body is not happy about it. And I'm often finding myself encouraging patients to think about, just because you can doesn't mean that you should. Thinking about that flexibility in their body, because you don't have to look like your neighbor and take the fullest expression of a posture to get the same benefit. And it's really important to listen to your body. And the practice of yoga is very much about listening to your body and reestablishing that body awareness. The word yoga means to yoke or union. And the goal of yoga is to unite the mind, the body, and the spirit. Because in Western medicine, we treat them very separately and they're very much integrated. And so when we can slow down, listen to our body, honor what it needs and any limitations that it has, we begin to cultivate that body awareness, and we don't have to get trapped in this pill for every ill system, because we can learn to listen to our bodies enough that we know what our symptoms mean and what we can do about them. And so maybe we're having pain in our knees. What if that pain doesn't need a medication? What if that pain just needs 1 or 2 days of rest so the body can properly recover?
Right, right. Yeah, instead of loading up on ibuprofen the day after, a day after intense workouts, like giving it a break. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so I mean, I think we, from my perspective with metabolic syndrome, you know, I see a lot of people that haven't incorporated movement in their lives for a long time. Obviously, there's lots of factors that go into, you know, type 2 diabetes, like genetic factors. I was actually looking at my 23andMe data because my daughter had a project that said, where did your family come from? And my family doesn't have great records about who came over from where. My husband's family knows that so-and-so came over from Switzerland in 1775, and he took this boat and this is where he landed. And I'm like, oh my goodness, my family's just, you know, sort of whatever. So I got on my 23andMe and found that we came from these areas of Germany and all this stuff. But then I was like perusing the 23andMe stuff because I hadn't read it in a while. And it was like, you have a 73% greater chance of having diabetes than the average person based on your genetics. And so we talk a lot about epigenetics and how like you can influence change in that by doing these things, by doing movement, by having solid nutrition, by not having nutrient deficiencies. And so when I meet people in their 40s and 50s and 60s that are now struggling with metabolic syndrome, a lot of times the movement piece is something that's the most difficult for them. They'll take a drug, they'll take a supplement, they'll take XYZ, but making time for the movement. And part of it, I think, is related to what you mentioned, Veronica, about just our body not being trained for that. And by the time they get to that point, they have achy knees or back pain or something else that's like prohibiting them from doing the movement. So I know you focus a lot on chair exercises with your yoga. So can you talk to us a little bit about, like, if you're in that position where you feel like you can't go for a long walk because you have knee on knee bone and you're trying to reduce your weight so you can get knee surgery, like what's the movement that those folks can, you know, try to incorporate?
There's lots of really good resources for chair yoga on the internet. I will plug my own. Yes. If you go to my Facebook page at Prairie Fire Pharmacy Consulting, I have several chair yoga practices recorded there that you could test out. There's lots of ways to incorporate different movement and stretches from the chair that really open and challenge the body, but without stressing it too much. When we're finding a yoga posture or a stretch, we want to move to the point where we feel a little bit of discomfort, not pain, because we want to know that we're moving to our body's comfortable edge. And we know that we're doing some work, but we're not causing pain. Right. And that's a learning process. And it's amazing to find out that even just 25% of a movement can give us a benefit, that we don't have to do the full expression of anything. And in fact, my favorite thing about yoga is that if you can breathe, you can practice yoga. So you don't even have to move at all. If it's not available to you, you can sit and breathe and imagine making the movements, and your brain is firing and making new connections, and you're still getting benefit from that because of the mind and body connection. So be encouraged that if it is not available to you today, it is enough to sit and breathe and imagine making those movements, because eventually you might be able to move a little bit more.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah.
So have some patience with that movement process. Yeah. And also, you know, there's chair yoga exercises, but then water, doing water aerobics, or even there's aqua yoga, which I think is so exciting. Oh my goodness. I just love it. And there's great ways to do exercises that do not put pressure on the joints. Excuse me, not exercises, movements.
Yes.
I would like to get away from using the word exercise because it has such a negative connotation and it sounds like work. And I'm working even myself from changing that vocabulary to developing a movement practice as opposed to an exercise, because movement can be anything and movement can be fun. And I think it changes the mindset around moving our bodies in a helpful way when we give it a different label. And it's just more fun and enjoyable when it's not exercise. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Getting your kids to the park or, you know, going for a walk with a friend. Like, you know, sometimes I'll just, you know, some of the moms in the neighborhood, like, hey, let's go for a walk after the kids are asleep. And instead of sitting here talking, we can talk, you know, as we're walking and engage in community at the same time, which we're going to talk about how important connection is to health on our next podcast. Yeah. And I think, you know, I think it obviously, I think the whole part of functional medicine that we emphasize over and over and over is that it's individualized. So it's not that one protocol fits every single person. So while some people may be in a place where movement's not accessible to them and they need to start with just the breathing, other people that are more able to move and have the flexibility, like, may need to start with it, you know, especially if your goals are weight loss or your goals are reversing metabolic syndrome, like there might need to be some more intense plans for movement, but still building in that restorative piece. Cause I do hear a lot of people say, well, I walk at work or I'm up all the time at work. Although you're moving in some of those scenarios, like I've had patients say, well, I go get cars from the end of the parking lot and I drive them back. Like that's my movement during the day. Or stock shelves at Kroger or, you know, whatever that is. Sometimes in order to really make changes in the metabolic system, that's not enough like heart rate increase and it's not enough intentional muscle building as far as like strength training. So that's another piece of movement is that's really important is to tone those muscles to help improve the body's use of insulin. So insulin is a hormone that helps drive the glucose into the cells. And over time, if there's too much insulin, which happens in patients with type 2 diabetes, then that insulin, the muscle just becomes resistant to it. It's like, I've seen this before, but I'm not acting now. And so improving the muscle tone can help. And certainly stretching can do that and yoga can do that and other things and squats. We talked about squats at the beginning. Those are great for getting your body aligned and using that really large muscle group in your legs to do that. So I think the take home point is working with someone that, and obviously we are pharmacists, we are not personal trainers or people that are specialized in that. We can certainly talk to you about how you're setting goals for doing your movement and figuring out, okay, like here's who's going to keep me accountable for that as far as a health coaching standpoint. But actually, like if you have a specific health need that requires losing weight or toning muscles or doing something like that, we highly recommend that you work with, whether it's a personal trainer or someone that is more experienced. A PT can be a great resource because sometimes physical therapy can even be covered by insurance for certain conditions and they can help you figure out the exercises that work with your body. And sometimes a PT is a great start for people that are not used to incorporating this movement. And you can do that in a supervised fashion and learn some of those exercises. And this might be a little off topic, but I think still related is pelvic floor strengthening for women that have had babies. Our country does an absolute terrible job of supporting women in postpartum. We go back to work in 6 to 8 weeks sometimes. And, you know, especially when women have babies sort of close together, sometimes that doesn't give time for the body and the core to restore, or they're not taught the tools to help restore their core in between those pregnancies and have trouble with this. It goes with the movement in the fact that in order to move, your core has to be strong and has to have the ability for you to do that squat without feeling like you have to go to the bathroom or do the other things throughout your day, laugh with your friends or, you know, those kinds of things. And I think I do see a lot of women in my practice that just think having urinary leakage or issues like that are normal because they've had kids or because, but it's not normal. And so I think making sure that you get the right resources, pelvic floor PT is a game changer. And so most cities have, you know, and lots of times, again, this is covered on insurance to be able to get a referral to PT and be evaluated, and they can give you lots of exercises. I mean, certainly there's online programs that can, that focus on those for people that might not be able to get to a PT pelvic floor specialist. But I think making sure that you have the tools so that you're not injuring your body when you start to do the movement. Cause a lot of women, you know, they have their babies. They're like, okay, I gotta get this weight off. So let me try to go exercise. And they're trying to do crunches or trying to do these things that, until we restore that like underneath internal core pelvic floor, those could actually be maybe more damaging than not. So I guess my takeaway point is that if you're having trouble in those areas, seeking the restorative piece and the professionals around you to help you get better so that you can then run with your children in the park and do all these things later to have your movement can be really important. And I know some of that too is, you know, almost embarrassing in a way. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced pelvic floor issues after your babies, but I think sometimes we're just like, oh my goodness, why is that happening? And you're in that stressful postpartum period where you're half awake and half asleep and all of those. And you don't feel like, and no one, I would say that most OBGYNs don't even offer that. Like, I feel like every woman should get, and I've heard that in France, like every woman gets like a prescription or a referral to pelvic floor PT after delivering. And in the United States, like you have to sort of like figure out for yourself, like if you need that and ask for it. I mean, there's probably OBs that are great about it too. But in my experience, my first one like didn't even suggest it until maybe 6 to 7 months later when I'm like, okay, I think I need this. Veronica, do you want to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I really appreciate you bringing up the bladder issues that women see. This is something really common that we just think it's a normal part of aging, and it's not. It's a function of having strong, healthy pelvic floor muscles. And something else that patients aren't aware of is that your pelvic floor health ties greatly into your low back health. Mm-hmm. And so low back pain and bladder issues go hand in hand with pelvic floor dysfunction. So asking for pelvic floor PT is a great thing. And I was having a lot of low back trouble after my second baby. And I went in thinking, okay, we're just going to do some PT focused on the low back. And they told me, no, this is pelvic floor. And I didn't even have pelvic floor on the brain.
Right.
I should have, but I wasn't having those bladder issues. And I think that's what we, I guess, in the healthcare community, we're thinking, okay, bladder issues is mainly
sure.
Pelvic floor, but there's the low back piece too. And so that was really helpful to resolve that low back pain. And something that came up for me, Melody, when you were talking about chiropractic care,
yeah,
and proper alignment, is movement can help us maintain proper alignment, and movement can sometimes even be our own natural chiropractic care. Have you ever done a movement and something popped and mm-hmm. it felt really good? And that's something that I have learned, is how to move my body and help to encourage better alignment, to the point where I now know how to move. If my rib's out most of the time, I can put my own rib back in with different movement practices that I've learned, instead of running to the chiropractor every time my rib's out. And that's really helpful.
Yes,
to be able to do that. Yeah. And so to encourage patients that movement practices can help you maintain comfort and happiness in your body, and also save you in healthcare expenses down the road. By taking care of our body with movement practices, we can head off joint replacements if we're taking care of our bodies now.
Yeah.
Think of it in a long-term spectrum, that this movement and maintaining my health and the range of motion that I have now translates into how well I age and whether or not I might need joint replacement later.
Sure. Yeah. And even posture things, like getting your spine aligned and stretched. You know, I go for osteopathic manipulation treatments like once a month. I mean, I could probably use them like every other day sometimes, but my insurance, I go once a month, sometimes more often if I throw something out, but I always feel like more tall and, you know, stretched out afterwards. And I, you know, foam rolling can be great for that at home too, if you're able to get just, and it's crazy that that's little foam rod basically is able to, you know, help stretch out the spine too, but it does really make a difference. I've seen pictures of like chiropractic care where they're like, you know, showing the progression of osteoporosis and people, you know, sort of aging to where they're not standing up straight anymore. But we can, like you said, really head that off if we incorporate this movement, keep our muscles strong to hold the bones in the place that they need to be held. And I think too, what fascinates me is like the alignment pieces that affect like visceral organs. So like, well, even brain stuff. So when they do like adjustments on your cranial sacral, and then that affects your reflex, or I have babies, especially like if they're really cranky and they've been sort of wound up in the womb and they're, you know, they get that treatment afterwards, and sort of unwinding some of those kinks, I guess you could say, can make a difference on their mood or their body's reflex. But for me, like I can totally tell if there's one spot in my upper thoracics out, it affects and I get heartburn. I never have heartburn unless that one spot is out and they put it back in and the heartburn's gone. And so it's like, oh my goodness, how connected your body is to. And so most people, and I think about this all the time, like if I didn't go to OMT every month and get that alignment to allow me to move better, like I'd probably be taking like Prilosec for heartburn all the time. And, you know, I'd be taking ibuprofen all the time because I'd be in pain in my back. And so all of, I look at these med lists of patients that come in that have 10 and 14 and sometimes 20, 25 drugs on them. I'm sure Lindsay sees the same thing in community pharmacy. And I'm just thinking, man, like if you could just work with a practitioner that really would help you to be able to move your body better and be better aligned, like would we need this whole plethora of medications? So yeah, so it's amazing. I mean, we're not chiropractic or OMT providers, but I think knowing that those modalities are available to help you on your path to being able to move better is huge.
Absolutely. I want to chime in and say I've had the same experience with heartburn.
Yeah.
It's a function of my rib being out.
Yeah.
And when I have heartburn that I just can't quiet with Tums or whatever foods normally quiet heartburn for me, I have to listen to my body and say, oh, you're not translating this as as your rib is out. Like you're reading this as heartburn, but when you're really listening to your body and you're paying attention, like, oh, the Tums aren't working. This is not heartburn. This is something else.
Yeah.
And so that's when I go to my movement practices or my chiropractor and get an adjustment. And I love OMT. That's osteopathic manipulation
yes.
therapy.
Yes.
I much prefer it from the doctors of osteopathy than a chiropractor.
Me too.
But where I'm at, I do not have access to a doctor of osteopathy. So I just want to put that out there for our patients.
And
if
I would
you have
say
access.
It does depend. I mean, obviously skill level of OMT is very dependent on the practitioner and where they trained too, because some DO physicians do not get, like, for example, pediatric DO physicians don't often have as much of that in their residency training, and then family medicine DO physicians. And even some DO physicians might go to an allopathic, which is like the MD program's residency training program. And so word of mouth is really the best way to figure out if your DO is in the area are good or, you know, at OMT. We have one in the Dayton area that's like fabulous, and her whole practice is OMT. Like the entire practice, she does nothing else besides that all day. I always, you know, tell my daughter, like, if you decide to go to, and she's like seven, so I'm not really sure what she's going to do with her life, but if you decide to go to med school, you need to go. And even like other people, like I've had patients that ended up applying for med school. And I'm like, you should really go to DO school because then you get both pieces of this. So they're just gems. If you can find a DO physician that does that in practice, sometimes it's even like mine is actually covered on insurance because it's a physician doing it. And I pay just my family medicine copay and not even a specialist copay. So it makes it a lot more reasonable price than even the chiropractic care. But I mean, chiropractic care is great too. I just find that like you said, that OMT does get into some of the muscle energy pieces a little bit more than just aligning the spine. And so it does align the spine and that, and sometimes in a little more gentle way. And it seems like it lasts better for me too, but yeah.
I wanted to share one of my experiences having an incredible doctor of osteopathy while I was pregnant with my first son.
Yeah.
I fractured my back when I was 19 and had a lot of low back challenges. And he was absolutely amazing. He said, please come and see me 4 weeks after you deliver, and we will realign your spine while you have all of those hormones mm-hmm. that are relaxing your yes. ligaments to help open up the pelvis and let the baby out. He said, we're going to take advantage of the fact that you're going to be really loosey-goosey in all of your joints
yes.
because of delivery. And as those hormones are leaving your body, we're going to align your spine and let things tighten back up in the best alignment possible.
Yeah.
And I would like to share that with our listeners because people don't know that that's an option. And, mm-hmm. and you do have a lot of things get out of alignment when you have
sure.
a baby. I mean, everything moves to yeah. let that little person into the world. And to know that you have the option to have someone help set your spine up for success after delivery. So 4 weeks after you have a baby, go get a good total body adjustment to set yourself up for the best success. And my back had never been better. Like awesome. It was like I got a brand new back after having my first son because I had such a good doctor take care of me post delivery.
Yeah,
I mean, it was just incredible. And I never thought that my back would feel normal again. And I can honestly say I had no pain and I felt like I had a brand new back after my first baby.
Yeah, that's awesome. I had the advantage of working in a family medicine residency DO program for 6 years while I was full-time at Cedarville. And during that time, they're students of osteopathy, so they're like wanting to practice. So I got a lot of alignment. And that's during the time I had Kenley. So like they even have like visceral organ like alignment techniques too, because you know, when you got a baby in there pushing things around, like afterwards, that can, you know, get you back in line there can be great too. This makes me think that we should do a whole nother podcast and I should have a physician of osteopathic medicine on here. I might reach out to Cheryl Hams, is a faculty member for OU College of Medicine. And I've seen her as a patient for acupressure, but she might be someone that I could have on here and we could talk about some of these other treatment modalities just to let people know, you know, that they're out there. So awesome. So anything we want to summarize, guys? I know we're sort of hitting the half hour mark, and anything we want to have as our take home points?
I would like to share with you some quotes from Candace
awesome.
Pert. She is one of my favorite neuropharmacologists. She's an amazing person. And she says, the body is not a mindless machine. The mind and the body are one, and you can't heal it with talk alone.
Awesome. So you can't heal the body with talk alone. That's powerful.
Mm-hmm. Our thoughts are very important, and something else Candace Pert has said is your body is your subconscious mind. So our thoughts matter and our thoughts do show up in our body, but we also have the responsibility to move and use other modalities, not just our mind, to help heal our bodies.
Right, right. So movement, nutrition, sleep, all of these things that we were talking about, foundations of health, are those tools in your toolkit. So awesome. Well, we will end on that today. And I appreciate you ladies joining me at the table today and just being able to chat about this and help people to, you know, find that movement to help them thrive. So we will see you next time. Thanks for listening. We're excited you are on your journey with us. Find us online at farmtotable.life. Farm with a P, and on Instagram @farmtotableteam.